Senator from Pennsylvania.
Mr. President, I rise to address an amendment that I have worked on with my colleague, Senator Corker from Tennessee, an amendment that I hope we're going to get a vote on today because I think it is timely, it is important, and it's really a measure that would simply restore to Congress a responsibility that the Constitution assigns to Congress. So, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the amendment that we've crafted, which would simply require that before a president, this president or any other president, can invoke Section 232 of our trade law, which is the provisions that grant the president special powers when the national security of America is threatened, is at risk, gives him the power to impose tariffs in that situation. And what this amendment would do is it would say that when a president makes that determination that he wants to impose tariffs because it's essential for the security of our country, that he could do so as long as he has the assent from Congress. And it would require an expedited process, simple majority vote, couldn't be dragged out, couldn't be filibustered. But it would ultimately be congressional responsibility. Now, why do I say that this would be restoring to Congress its constitutional power? Well, it's because the Constitution is very unambiguous about this. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 states, and I quote, "The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises." It goes on from there, Mr. President, but duties are tariffs. I don't think anybody disputes that. So, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 assigns that responsibility to Congress. Clause 3 goes on to further make it clear that this is Congress's responsibility by stating, and I quote, "The Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations." Well, the imposition of duties clearly is an exercise in regulating commerce with foreign nations. Now, over time, the Congress has ceded authority in this area, unwisely in my view, to the executive. And that's been going on for decades. There's no question about it. The executive now has a lot of authority under powers that Congress has delegated to the president. It's part of a broader trend of congressional powers that are being delegated to the executive branch, to regulators, agencies, cabinet. And I think it's a mistake. I think this is a congressional responsibility. We ought to take that responsibility. We ought to take it seriously. Why do I think it's important in this particular case? Because in my view, this Section 232 provision is being misused. It is meant to ensure that our Defense Department can procure defensive materials needed in time of war. That was the real motivation behind creating this power for the president to block foreign trade in the event that our national security depended on it. But what do we have instead? We have this provision being invoked as a way to impose tariffs on some of our closest allies, closest friends, and most important trading partners. In fact, the Canadians, the Mexicans, the European Union, over very small amounts of steel that we import. In the case of Canada, it's really quite amazing. Canada's a country, do we have a closer ally than our next door neighbor? The country that sends troops to fight alongside ours whenever we have a need to do that. A country with whom we have massive amount of trade in both directions. A country with whom we have a balance of trade overall. A country where we actually have a surplus in steel. But what we're doing is we're imposing taxes on Americans, taxes on my constituents, if they choose to buy steel from Canada, and we're saying that that's necessary for national security purposes. Of course it's not. It has nothing to do with national security. And the Secretary of Commerce admitted as much before our committee last week when he said what it's really about is getting the Canadians to agree to the changes the administration wants to make in NAFTA. Well, I don't agree with those changes in the first place. So we're misusing a national security element of our law to punish American consumers of products that originate from one of the friendliest countries on the planet with respect to our country. And I think this is a problem. And by the way, it's not the first time that we've had really dubious trade policy from the administration. I totally disagreed with the Mexican sugar deal that was negotiated. It's a protectionist bill that treats domestic sugar growers very, very well. They get an artificially high price for their sugar, and all of us who are consumers of sugar pay too high a price. Then we had tariffs imposed on solar panels and washing machines. We now are finding that first we had tariffs on Canadians, Mexicans, Europeans, South Koreans. Then there was relief, but then that expired, and now the tariffs are back. We've gone too far down the road. This has become very disruptive. This is bad for our economy. It's bad for my constituents. And fundamentally, it's a responsibility that we have. It's in the Constitution. It says so. And so what this amendment does is it simply says, look, the president can invoke 232. The president can invoke national security if he sees fit. But he has to come back to Congress for an expedited up or down vote. And frankly, that's exactly what our responsibility is. This bill is relevant. The ag community is more adversely affected by the retaliation against these ill-conceived tariffs than any other sector of the economy I can think of. This is the bill that addresses ag policy. This is the right moment to have this debate and to decide whether we want to take the responsibility the Constitution assigns to us or not. And by the way, I get that not everybody agrees with what Senator Corker and I and others are trying to do. But I hope everybody acknowledges that the role of the Senate is to debate and vote on tough issues. That's part of what we are sent here to do, to decide what our policy will be. And that necessarily includes having a debate and having a vote. So I think my colleague from Tennessee is going to make a request that we be able to consider this amendment and vote on this. I wholeheartedly support this effort. I think it's very, very important. And with that, Mr. President, I yield the floor.
Mr. President.
Senator from Tennessee.
Mr. President, I want to thank my friend from Pennsylvania for his comments and for his leadership on issues relative to free trade and other important issues to our nation. And I just want to reiterate for a minute before I ask for this amendment to be called up, the fact that this particular amendment, number one, is co-sponsored by 14 people of various ideologies on both sides of the aisle. Senator Flakes here on the floor is a co-sponsor of this amendment. It is probably one of the most supported amendment we're going to vote on as it relates to the Farm Bill. Is the Farm Bill the right place? Absolutely. Farmers around our country are being hurt by this administration's trade policies. More than 20 farm bills could help them. So it's very important for us to address this issue now. Some of my friends on the other side of the aisle, who, by the way, we have many people on the other side of the aisle supporting this legislation, this amendment, some of them have said, well, but we don't want to hurt our ability to impose tariffs on China. This has nothing to do with that. As the senator from Pennsylvania mentioned, the president has used the Section 201 of the Trade Act to put in place tariffs on solar panels and on washing machines. He did that in January. The additional tariffs that he's putting in place on China are under Section 301. What this amendment narrowly focuses on is the abuse of authority that the administration is utilizing to put tariffs in place on Canada, Mexico, and many of our allies, especially in Europe. And what he's doing is citing national security. It is dubious. All of us know it has nothing whatsoever to do with national security, but the reason the president is using this is he doesn't have to prove anything to use it. Under the other sections, you have to deal with the WTO or the ITC, and you've got to actually make a case for what it is you're doing. But when you use 232, no case has to be made. He can just do it. And therefore, that's the reason, because of this abuse of authority, that is the reason that we believe the president ought to be free to negotiate these. Sure, he is the leader of our nation. But once he completes those negotiations, if he's going to use Section 232 of the Trade Act, we believe he should come to Congress, as was laid out by the senator from Pennsylvania. So with that, I ask unanimous consent to set aside the pending amendment and call up Amendment 3091.
Is there objection?
Mr. President.
Senator from Ohio.
I reserve the right to object. Mr. President, my colleague raises concerns about the effect of retaliatory tariffs on our farmers and others. I couldn't agree more. But we should not pit farmers against steelworkers. Only a few days after Canada Trump became President-elect Trump, my first correspondence with him was how we do trade policy in the next few years. One of the conditions, one of the admonitions, if you will, was you don't play off one industry against another. You don't play off agriculture against autos or steel or chemicals or anybody else. But it benefits all Americans. And I think my colleagues agree with this. It benefits all Americans if we stop China cheating, if we force them to play by the rules. I would say to my colleagues today, to Senator Toomey and Senator Corker, and I understand they have some bipartisan support on this, I'd say that probably the worst thing you do for Ohio, for America's farmers, is to jeopardize passage of the Farm Bill today. I've spoken with Senator Roberts and Senator Stabenow about that. That's exactly what this amendment would do. The amendment would gut, most importantly, it would gut one of our trade enforcement tools, a tool Congress passed and enhanced in the Finance Committee just in the last couple of years, passed to ensure we protect the industries necessary to defend our country. I know my colleague from Tennessee generally opposes the president's trade agenda. I think he does that from an intellectually honest position. But that is not justification for completely undoing a decades-old statute that is one of the few tools we have to defend national security interests against distortions in the global market. The steel and aluminum tariffs the president has put in place are long overdue actions to defend against further shrinking of two sectors critical to national defense. Senator Toomey certainly knows this in the western part of his state, as I know it in mine. I know my colleagues agree that excess steel production capacity in China is troubling. We're talking about a country that now has the capacity to produce half the world's steel, close to half the smelting, half the world's aluminum. It's infected the global market. It's made steel overcapacity a global problem. We know that China puts people to work because they can't afford to have tens of millions of young men unemployed in the countryside. They subsidize their energy and their water and their capital and their land. They have dozens of government-owned enterprises. They want to keep their people to work. They cheat when they do. That's just very simple. We have an administration now, finally, willing to take action and defend our highly competitive steel industry and steelworkers. And I know what a competitive steel plant looks like. I was at ArcelorMittal in Cleveland, 7 miles from my house, only a week ago. That's the first steel mill in the world that's been able to produce raw steel with one person hour with one person hour of labor. Think of that, a ton of steel produced by one person hour. That tells you how productive our plants are. But against China cheating and subsidizing damn near all the components, we simply can't do that. The state of Tennessee perhaps has been lucky to avoid the devastation brought to steel towns like Steubenville, in Yorkville, in Martins Ferry, in Warren, in Lorain, all cities in Ohio, up and down the Mon River in Pennsylvania. Senator Toomey said the same thing. All as a result of China's excess capacity. But the shuttered steel mill and thousands of steel workers in Ohio who lost their jobs are constant reminders for my state that this trade enforcement action taken by the president was long overdue. We have to have steel and aluminum sectors in this country to defend ourselves. It's that simple. We won't have these critical sectors if our steel and aluminum producers can't keep their doors open. This section of the statute, 232, was Congress's way some time ago of acknowledging there are connections between trade and national security. Imports can undermine our national security. Congress has recognized that for years. There should be ways for the president to take action when that's the case. The Corker Amendment fundamentally rejects that idea and hamstrings the president's ability to protect America's national security interests. Even worse, Corker Amendment would immediately remove the 232 steel and aluminum tariffs, including those on China. Why would any colleagues vote to let China off the hook? Just look at the bipartisan effort to pass the Foreign Investment
Risk Review and Modernization Act. It passed in the down the hall, I believe, with only two no votes. There's broad bipartisan support also for ensuring the president take a tough stance with ZTE, which he has not been wild about doing. But for some reason, when it comes to aluminum and steel, it's okay to let China off the hook? Makes no sense. I know some of my colleagues who support this amendment will say they support the president's actions if they were targeted just to China. They think the Corker Amendment's necessary because the president has applied these tariffs to our allies. But steel overcapacity is a global problem. It needs a global solution. If we don't take a more comprehensive action, China will cheat their way into those other markets. Ask ArcelorMittal, ask Nucor, ask AK Steel, ask US Steel, just to name a few domestic producers we have in my state. They've all seen the tricks China uses to work around our anti-dumping and countervailing duty laws. Or look at the findings of Ambassador Lighthizer's recent report on China's intellectual property theft. He found that China was stealing about $50 billion of intellectual property from the U.S. every single year. The evidence is clear. China is determined. I understand China. I don't even particularly fault them because they're acting in their national interest. Maybe we should try to do the same thing because China's determined to gain U.S. market share and technological advances. They'll stop at nothing to get it. I agree we should work with our allies in this. The administration to a degree has. They've negotiated agreements with South Korea and Brazil and Argentina and Australia. Some of my colleagues are concerned, rightly, about Canada and Mexico being covered by the tariffs. I share that concern, but gutting trade enforcement is not the way to fix that. I work with the administration to reach a solution through negotiations. I encourage my colleagues to do the same. I spoke to Ambassador Lighthizer again late last night. We're in a holding pattern with NAFTA talks until Mexico's elections in about a week. But soon after that, NAFTA talks will pick right up. Steel and aluminum tariffs will be part of that dialogue, as they should be. Because Canada and Mexico have such close proximity to our market, they are primary targets for Chinese transshipment. We have to guard against that, or the Section 232 tariffs won't simply be effective. And in closing, Mr. Mead, before my final remarks, I'm confident an agreement with our NAFTA partners can be reached. I hope it's reached soon. Canada and Mexico are an important part of the North American steel supply chain. They're important partners in making sure our efforts to address steel overcapacity are effective. The tariffs have been effective. Just yesterday, Republic Steel announced that one of its rolling mills in Lorain, Ohio, would restart in September. In Granite City, Illinois, 800 steel workers were called back to work. The Corker Amendment would threaten these new jobs, would thwart other announcements of steel mills restarting in the U.S. So summarize, the Corker Amendment would permanently undermine a long-standing section of statute that makes sure the U.S. has the industries necessary to defend itself. It would let bad actors like China off the hook and able to flood our markets with unfairly traded steel. It disregards ongoing negotiations with our NAFTA partners. It threatens the improvements seen in our steel and aluminum industries since the tariffs were imposed. For all those reasons, Mr. President, I object.
Madam President.
Objection is heard. Senator from Tennessee.
Madam President, I don't even know where to start. Senator from Ohio is a friend of mine. We came in together at the same time. He's written books on labor and trade, and I respect the fact that he knows a great deal about the topic. We served together on the banking committee, and I respect him. Much of what he just said was focused on China. I've never heard of a trade policy where you have a country like China, who is, in fact, dumping steel around the world because it's in their interest. I've never heard of a trade policy where you punish your friends in order to get at someone who's doing something to you. So we're punishing Canada and Mexico. We're fortunate to live in the neighborhood that we live in, to have neighbors like we have. We're punishing our European allies who've been with us for centuries in order to get at China. It makes no sense. As a matter of fact, I haven't heard a person who's gone to the White House to talk about what they're putting in place, trade policy, come back over here and be able to articulate anything coherent about that policy. I haven't heard a single soul be able to explain to me why we would punish our allies in Europe, our neighbors next door, in order to get at China. 232 has nothing to do with China. That's absolutely not true. It has nothing to do with China. China is being punished by 201 and 301, and we're punishing our allies by abusing a national security section called 232. So I don't know what to say. Let me finish one more thing before I yield. And I'll gladly yield. People in our nation are being hurt today. People are being hurt. You saw the Harley-Davidson issue where they're going to move some of the jobs overseas to avoid these tariffs. Other companies are going to be doing the same. Right now, farmers are being hurt around our country. On July 1st, a whole other set of countermeasures is coming in from other countries. On July the 6th, there'll be a whole other set of countermeasures coming in. And I just want the record to be clear. The senator from Ohio, my friend, won't even allow us to vote. If he disagrees with this policy, he can vote against it. He's not even allowing us to vote on something that could ease and stop the pain that's being inflicted on our country by a trade policy that is not coherent, that's being made up on a daily basis, that has nothing whatsoever to do with what China is doing with steel and aluminum. So I don't know what this body has become, where you can't even vote on an issue that is current, that is damaging farmers more than 20 farm bills could make up for. So with that, I yield the floor to my friend from Pennsylvania.
I thank my colleague from Tennessee. I put aside how stunned I was to hear that my colleague from Ohio suggests that maybe we want to emulate the communist managed economy of China as a good model for economic development. That's just breathtaking to me. But I really want to stress the point that the senator from Tennessee made, and that is the fact that this amendment has nothing to do with China. We can go on all day about how outrageous some Chinese behavior is in the trade space, and it's true, and there is really bad behavior. And by the way, we need to address that. We'd be better able to address the things like the theft of intellectual property and coerced technology transfer if our allies were working with us to address that outrageous behavior. But it's harder to get your allies to work with you when you are hitting them with tariffs and the excuse is national security. Let me just put a little bit of scale to this. So our colleague suggested how important it is that these industries survive. I completely agree. Domestic producers produce 75% of all the steel we consume. We import about 25% of it. You know how much of that comes from China? About 2% of the 25%. We don't import steel from China, is the reality. So we do import a little bit of steel. The number one source is Canada, who buys more steel from us than we buy from them. So that's our national security threat. So that's why we need to hit my constituents with a tax when they choose to buy those kinds of steel that the Canadians happen to specialize in and Americans don't. This makes no sense at all. And finally, my last point is, so look, we have sincerely held difference of opinions on this. Why can't we vote? Well, isn't that what the Senate is here for? Let's debate this, let's consider this, and let's have the vote. I didn't think that the purpose of the Senate was to avoid votes that people think are tough or challenging or that they even disagree with. I fully accept disagreement. I don't expect a unanimous agreement on the outcome on the policy. But why in the world is this a body that can't have a debate and vote about something as timely, important, and relevant as this?
Madam President.
Madam President.
Senator from Tennessee.
I'll be very brief. I know the senator from Ohio wants to speak, and the senator from Wyoming has been waiting. People in our nation are being hurt today. Americans are being taxed heavily. A tariff is a tax on the American people. What the senator from Ohio is doing is saying that the Senate should not even vote on a measure to alleviate the pain that Americans are going to feel, the jobs that are going to be lost over the next couple months as this trade war continues. And I'm just disappointed. I cannot believe, with the zeal that we both came into the Senate 11 and a half years ago to debate and deal with the big issues of our nation, and to have an amendment that's supported in a bipartisan way, when people know, when they know that the trade policy that is being put forth by this administration is being made up on a daily basis, and they know that jobs are going to be lost, and farmers are already hurt, we cannot even vote on amendment, even though we may disagree, vote on an amendment. So on this day, June the 27th, let it be known that on a bill that's very relevant because of the pain that farmers are going through, we were kept from voting on a measure that would alleviate an incoherent policy from continuing on as it relates to trade. With that, I yield the floor.
Madam President.
Senator from Ohio. Yeah,
thank you. I appreciate Senator Corker's comments. I guess I appreciate Senator Toomey's a little less, who tried to say that I was like thinking that the People's Republic of China has an economy that we should emulate, when what I actually said, and I've seen him do this before, what I actually said is China's government fights for its national interests by putting people to work, and our trade policy for 25 years, since NAFTA, since PNTR, since CAFTA, since South Korea, many of them pushed by presidents of my party, whom I've stood up for, have undermined American national security and domestic security. So I just reject that. But I appreciate Senator Corker's comments about voting on this. You know, this is a major change in policy with no legislative hearings, with no real discussion or debate. It's a bit rich when the majority party talks about us not allowing votes, when start with a Supreme Court nominee of 3 years ago, and all the times we tried to do a transportation bill, important in our banking committee, Senator Corker, as you know, and you weren't really part of the obstruction, but I just find it a bit rich. But the reason is, Senator Hatch has already said he wants to do hearings to really understand what it would mean to roll back years of having these trade remedies like 232. What would it mean? We've lost 7,000 jobs in the steel industry in my state. I don't know the number in Western and Central Pennsylvania and Senator Toomey's state, but I want to move quickly on having these real discussions and real debates. Having a vote on a bill that nobody really understands, except it's sort of reacting to the president's sometimes bungled positions and attempts on trade enforcement, and I share that frustration. I'm his ally on this, but I've been frustrated too at the back and forth and which countries are in or which countries are out. But fundamentally, tariffs are a temporary tool. They're not a trade policy used by the president in this case to force a discussion and a real policy about what to do with China excess capacity, where half the world's steel can be made in one country, and they put people to work in order and undermine international trade laws by doing it. And my people in my state have paid the prices they have all over the country.
Madam President, just 60 more seconds.
Senator from Tennessee.
This amendment has nothing to do with China. This amendment deals with Canada, Mexico, our European allies, and other countries. And I guess when we go back home this week and we talk to our constituents and they talk with us, I had a member of the UAW write a letter to the editor thanking me for these efforts that are underway to stop these tariffs that are killing the automobile industry, that or will kill the automobile industry that exists in Ohio and Tennessee. But I guess what I'll tell him is, well, we couldn't vote on a simple measure that would allow Congress to vote up or down on tariffs that the president negotiates, but what we're going to do why you lose your jobs, why you pay 25% more for steel and aluminum, why these industries go away, I'll tell them, well, we're going to have hearings. With that, I yield the floor.